In March of 2011, Jeff, my husband, and I packed up our two little girls and got to take a vacation on the island of Oahu, Hawaii. It was a long travel experience, and we were grateful to get there and to settle in and to find out our own personal Hawaiian adventures. One day, we spent a full day doing all the things that you should do. We swam in the pool, and we swam at the beach, and we swam in the other pool, and we put on sunscreen, and then we reapplied sunscreen, and then we reapplied sunscreen again and again and again. We treated ourselves to Hawaiian shave ice, and finally, at the end of the day, we ate our dinner and tucked the girls into the bed in the condo. I made myself comfy on the deck with a book, and Jeff went to watch something on TV. And as I sat there reading, suddenly I heard a voice. There was a voice that came out of nowhere, and it was the first time that I learned that hotels have speakers in all the rooms just in case the management wants to get a hold of everybody in the building at once. Did you know that? I didn't know it till I heard the voice, and the voice was coming with a message, and the message was there for all of the Hilton guests and everyone in the vicinity, because the speakers also were outside, to hear. And the message was this: there's a tsunami warning. Mm-hmm. All the conditions were right. Far out in the deep sea, a disturbance had happened, and there was the possibility of a giant wave that would hit the shore of our island sometime in the night. And the shore in question was not that far away. It was 2011, and just weeks before, a devastating tsunami had hit Japan. And I could see all the pictures, all the things that we had watched on the news, all the photos of destruction and the body counts. And now it was possible that it would happen here in this island paradise? I looked outside, I looked down at the local beach park, and I saw that there were police officers clearing out the homeless encampment there. They were moving people to safety. And so I ran in to talk to Jeff, only to find that he had fallen asleep. I said, "Did you hear that? Did you hear the announcement, Jeff? There's a tsunami warning. What should we do?" And Jeff's response was a Jeff response: "It's going to be fine." And my response was a Chris response: "You don't know that." I said, "Jeff, we live in the middle of the continent. We don't have hurricanes. We don't have earthquakes. We don't have tsunamis. We don't have any idea how to handle this disaster." And then came an updated message, something to the effect that anyone above the third floor of the hotel would be safe. And Jeff gave me the look. "See? We're fine." And I said, "Are you listening at all? They said anyone above the third floor is safe. We are on the third floor. I think we should get ready to move." And Jeff said, "It's going to be fine." And he pulled the covers over his head. So I moved into action. I turned on the TV to the local news, and it was all about the tsunami warning. It was punctuated by images from other tsunamis and instructions about what a person should do, and so I heeded those instructions. I packed a backpack with extra clothes and things we might need. I packed a bag of snacks and water for us. I lined up our shoes by the door in case we had to run out and go somewhere in the night. My plan was that we would move up a few floors if that wave was coming, and we'd find a lounge or an elevator or a kind person to let us into their room. The weather people were in full swing. This is the kind of thing they live for, right? Here they just live for the, 2 inches of snow, and they make it sound like we're going to be covered. But here they were in full swing. This is the kind of thing they waited for. They called on experts in marine earthquakes and tsunamis. They quoted statistics from giant waves all over the world. And then they said the most helpful thing of all. They said, if a tsunami was coming, it would come around 5 o'clock a.m. Until then, we just had to wait. So I checked out our go bags by the door. I set my alarm for 4 a.m., and I tried to get some sleep on the couch in front of the television. But sleep was elusive. I tried to read. I tried to watch a movie. I tried to do a crossword puzzle, but nothing could keep my eyes from the TV. See, the news station had cameras located at a number of beaches. So you could always check and see what it looked like. They're terrible quality cameras with this kind of grainy look. But you could watch and you could see the gentle waves splashing over the sand. And so I sat and watched the waves going over the sand. At around 4:45 a.m., I was wide awake and ready. If a tsunami was coming, it was going to be soon. I tried to wake up Jeff, but he slumbered away with no worries. So I decided if the need arose, I would get my children to safety and then maybe return for him. I put on my shoes. I made a plan for how I would wake the girls up and get them out the door, and then I stared anxiously at the footage on the beach cam. Finally, at 5 a.m., I watched as the waves slowly found their waves onto the sand, as they had been doing all night long. There was no tsunami. I had stayed awake and worried for nothing. Jeff and the girls had slept the night away in peace. Some people are just like that. Some people, like Jesus, for instance. Jesus had a tendency to sleep in a storm. We're going to look at the story today included in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 4. And the story starts on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus spends a whole day teaching large crowds of people. There are so many people that they actually put Jesus in a boat and push him out from the shore a little ways in order to help that lake sound get the sound out to them and so that people could see him. He's been teaching from the water all day. And then verse 35 says this, "That day when the evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' There they are, out on the water, Jesus and his friends. They have pushed away from the shore, the people have made their way home, and it's finally time to rest. After a long day of teaching, Jesus has made himself comfy in the back of the boat." Mark said he curled up on a cushion. A cushion was probably a bag of sand that was used for ballast in the boat. This is no, I don't know, those of you that are lake people that have your fancy pontoons, this is no fancy boat. Cushion of sand. But then a storm picks up, a really big one. The kind of storm that would make you freak out. And some of the people in the boat, some of the disciples in the boat are fishermen. They've spent their lives on the water. They've endured many storms, but this one causes panic. It must have been way worse for the landlubbers. They watch the wind and the waves. They fear that they'll capsize. They're trying to decide what to do. And then somebody must say, "Hey, what's Jesus doing?" And what is Jesus doing? He is sleeping in the storm. And so they wake him up. "Jesus, what is going on? How did you not notice the storm? Didn't you feel the raindrops? Can't you feel the splashing? Don't you care if we drowned?" As if the storm was his fault. They're incredulous. "We're in danger and you're sleeping." Maybe they think if we're going to drown, Jesus should at least watch it happen or go down with us. Maybe in the back of their minds they think, "Well, Jesus could do something, couldn't he?" And he does. Verse 39, "Jesus got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. He said, 'Peace, quiet, be still.' And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Wow. Wow for the disciples in the boat. Wow to the reader of the story. This is the first nature miracle recorded in the book of Mark. The disciples are seeing something new that they have not seen before. Jesus has power over nature. He didn't just wait for the storm to pass. He stopped it. The storm ended. The NIV, the New International Version of the Bible, says that it was completely calm. Other translations say this, that there was a great calm or a dead calm. One translation says the wind ran out of breath and the sea became as smooth as glass. And then my favorite from the Wycliffe translation, they write, "And the wind ceased and great peaceableness was made. My new favorite word is peaceableness. Here they are in this life-threatening squall which struck terror in the men, and this squall suddenly ends. Suddenly. And here's the miracle, because Jesus told it to. The sound of his voice and the content of his words bring the storm to an end. He says, peace, quiet, be still. Again, another translation reads, hush. One says, silent. Whatever the right translation is, the word is the same word that Jesus uses later to rebuke demons that are oppressing a person. It might be better to translate it as shut up. Only we don't like to say that. Shut up, because it shows the force and the power at which Jesus speaks. Jesus rebukes the sea. He commands the sea to peace. And the wind and the waves, the rain and the lightning, and the thunder obey. He rebukes the sea, and he rebukes his disciples. The same words that he speaks to the storm are heard loud and clear as they stand there. They're also meant for them. Peace, quiet, be still. He is telling them to be at peace, and he has shown them what it looks like. It looks like sleeping in a storm. How can Jesus sleep in that storm? How can Jesus sleep in chaos and in a squall that made them all more afraid? One, I think he's exhausted from his long day of preaching. But Jesus also trusts God. He is at peace, and it's not that he doesn't care, but he knows that it's going to be okay. He can sleep in peace because it's going to be okay. And it's not the first time that Jesus sleeps through a storm. When Jesus is born, he is born into a political storm. You know the story. Caesar Augustus orders a census of the people, trying to get a hold on who to tax and how much. And so Jesus' parents face the storm of long-distance travel at a late stage of gestation and then having to have their baby far away from home. And then after Jesus is born, King Herod hears murmurs of the fulfillment of a prophecy. Herod hears that people are saying that a king has been born, and he orders the killing of baby boys throughout the region. So Mary and Joseph flee to Egypt for the life of their son. And through it all, Jesus was sleeping. He was sleeping in heavenly peace, to quote a favorite Christmas carol. What is more peaceful than a sleeping baby? This is Jesus, whom Isaiah calls the Prince of Peace, and the one who comes into a storm-ridden world to bring peace. We have lots of ways that we think about peace. Usually it starts with thinking of peace as the absence of war, or the absence of fighting or conflict. And Jesus is indeed the one who will eventually bring about peace to the whole world, that kind of peace that we long for all peoples and all nations. But today I want to think about peace as the absence of fear. The frightened disciples in the boat had no peace because fear had taken over. Like them, we live in a world full of storms. We have so much that we fear or worry about. We are raising the most anxious generation that the world has ever known. We know what it feels like to stare into a squall and fear for our lives or livelihoods. What does that kind of storm look like to you? What are the things that keep you awake at night, that surround you, that feed your fear and steal your peace? There are so many, just to name a few. Financial strain. Trying to pay the bills can feel like a storm. The fear of falling or the fear of failing, the fear of not succeeding at something might overwhelm someone. Our children cause fear in us. I was never an anxious person till I became a mom, and then I realized how dangerous the world was. Or perhaps it's the fear of what's happening with parents who are aging. Or the fear of what's happening when, I'm not meaning to look at you guys, when you are aging. The fear of tasks. All the things, all the lists and all the things that have to be done, and the fear of not being able to be able to do all of them. The fear of our health, of a diagnosis, or of a body that hurts, or wondering what's going to happen. How about the fear of change, of things being different and never going back to the way that they were? Some fear a change in their cognition. And oftentimes we fear over the state of the world, and fear feels like being unable to move or make a decision. Fear feels like a fast beating heart and shallow breathing. Fear feels like our minds racing in intrusive thoughts and asking over and over, what if, what if, what if? Fear feels like waking up from a scary dream or waking up anxious. It feels awful. And we inherently know it's not the way it's supposed to be. And into that frightful space enters Jesus to bring peace. When the Bible talks about peace, the peace of Christ, it means the peace that we call shalom. And shalom being this beautiful Hebrew word that has such a big definition that one theologian called universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight. He said shalom is the way that things ought to be. It was the way that things were in the garden before the people learned to fear or to be ashamed. Shalom is the way that God meant it to be for us, and the peace that comes through Jesus is that kind of peace. In Philippians, it says the peace of God transcends all understanding. When you know the peace of Christ, you say to yourself, how is this possible? How can I feel peace in this storm? How can I feel peace when all these things are happening around me? But it's the kind of peace that makes us wonder, and it says it's because it will guard our hearts and minds in Christ. Biblical peace is equated with messianic salvation, with the hope of a Messiah that will come, the one that brings salvation, the one that will come, and it will be okay. The one who brings peace is that one. And this peace, according to the Bible, is only found in Jesus. It is a mystery. How can I have this peace? But it comes through Christ. The peace of Jesus is not found in a self-help book or meditation or medication. It comes through Jesus. And it comes as a word to hear, a gift to receive, and a person who is near. Jesus brings a word to hear. Jesus speaks peace into the world. The same voice that spoke the world into being. The same breath that instilled life in our bodies, the one who commanded the storm to end, still speaks. In the narrative in Mark, the word of the Lord comes as an imperative, as in peace is a verb. It's a command to peace. When Jesus speaks peace to the storm, it comes not as a suggestion or a nice idea. It's not a word, a soft word spoken to like trying to calm a toddler in a tantrum. Jesus speaks peace with power. He says peace to the storm. Be quiet. Stop your noise. He says peace to his people. Peace. Be still. Know. Trust. Stop your noise. Release your fear. I am a huge fan of children's fantasy literature. I'll often be quoting C.S. Lewis, and my other favorite happens to be the Harry Potter series. And the first book was made into a movie, and there's a scene in this movie, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, and you see this huge long hallway with long, long dinner tables filled with students. They're all wearing their school uniforms, and there's chitter-chatter, and everyone's eating, and there's all this noise, and suddenly the back doors open up, and one of the teachers runs in and yells, "Troll! There's a troll in the dungeon!" See, you don't get it because you don't know how scary trolls are. I mean, they're huge and they're hard to fight. And everyone all of a sudden is terrified. There's a troll in the dungeon. How did the troll get into our school? What are we going to do? We don't know how to fight a troll. And there's all this going on. There's all this chaos going on. And the headmaster takes charge. And he stands in front of his podium and he yells, "Silence!" And he says, "Everyone shall not panic." He speaks peace into that room with that power. That's Jesus who says, "Silence! Everyone shall not panic." And in the case of Jesus, it's because I'm here. With me here, you shall not panic. Peace is an imperative. It's something to do. During that literal storm on the lake, Jesus speaks peace not only to the wind, but to those who could feel it the most. He commanded peace, and they obeyed. Peace comes as a word to hear and obey. Peace comes as a gift to receive. In another gospel narrative, Jesus is nearing the end of his life on earth, and he gathers his disciples and he teaches them, he instructs them, and he gives promises to them, and he gives them the gift of peace. Chris read it earlier. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Knowing that his death is near and that there are storms ahead for his disciples, Jesus offers a gift of peace. Looking ahead for thousands of years, Jesus leaves a gift for us in the storms that we face. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. This peace cannot be manufactured or created or manifested. Peace is a gift to receive, and one only needs to ask. To open hands and heart and mind. Peace is a word to hear, a gift to receive, and peace is a person who is near. In Isaiah, Jesus is given the title Prince of Peace. In Ephesians, the writer says of Jesus, he is our peace. Peace is found in the person of Jesus, who says that he is always with us, who says that he dwells in the hearts of those who believe in him. When you are stranded in a storm, when fear seems immobilizing, when anxiousness takes over, peace is available and an imperative for you to hear and to speak. So when your mind starts racing, when a storm threatens, listen for Jesus to speak peace to you and speak it to yourself. Speak it to that fear. Peace, be still to anxious thoughts, to what if questions, to fears about the future. Peace is a gift to be received. Philippians 4 says that in every situation, whenever you feel anxious, go to God in prayer. When fear is overwhelming, pray for peace. And Paul, the writer, says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind. Get ready for the mystery of peace to surprise and get you through. When you feel fear, ask for peace. And peace is a person who is near. I said before, I was never anxious till I became a parent, and I think I told a story about this a long time ago, but I had a time in my life when I was feeling super anxious about something, and I called a friend who I knew had dealt with anxiety, and I said, what do you do? I'm just trying to figure out how to go about my business. And she said, I have a prayer that I pray. It's a breath prayer. She said, I breathe in, and I say, I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. And then I breathe out, and I say, all is well. If the person of Jesus dwells within us like he promises to, then peace is there within us through Christ. The peace of Jesus is a light in a dark storm. It comes on like the flicker of a flame, like a star in the night sky. The peace of Jesus reminds us that we are not alone, and it puts our fears to rest. In her poem, The Old Astronomer to His Pupil, Sarah Williams writes these words. Though my soul may set in darkness, it will rise in perfect light. I have loved the stars too fondly to be fearful of the night. May the peace of Christ illuminate the darkness of fear, like a star shining in the night, reminding you that just as the stars fill the sky every night, the peace of Jesus is available to us always. Would you join me in prayer? As we begin this prayer, I ask you to make yourself comfortable. With your eyes closed, try to ignore the people and things around you. And ask yourself this question: what is trying to steal my peace? What is the fear, the worry, the intrusive thought that just won't go? And as you hold that there, I ask you to hear the voice of Jesus saying, peace, be still. Look that fear in the eye and speak those words yourself. Peace, be quiet. And we pray, Lord Jesus, for peace. It says in your word that if we are anxious about anything, we are to bring it to you. And we ask and we open our hands, our hearts, and our minds to receive your peace. For this moment, for the next moment to come. And every time we ask, Lord, we pray that you would blow our minds with peace that passes understanding. And Lord, then today we also pray together. We breathe in. And in our hearts and minds we say, I am in Christ and Christ is in me. And breathing out, all is well. Amen.
Should see the moon in flight, couldn't cross the misty night, softly dancing in sunshine, reflections of this light. Reach me now, you reach me now. How could such a should be.